Welcome, everybody, to today's coaching call. Today's topic is sales team training. And my special guest today is Inner Circle member Dan Ginnity, who owns GT Flooring in Great Falls, Montana. And he's also got his sales team with him. And I thought what would be interesting, make this call more dynamic and I think ultimately useful for everybody in the club listening now and then later on audio CD, is to actually have Dan's whole team run through the training with them that we're going to do today. That way we can get some live feedback and address some, you know, real life, you know, challenges or questions. Plus, we are going to open it up later in the call for questions from everybody in the group. So we will be doing that. So, Dan, I really appreciate you being here, and thanks for taking time to come on the call today.
Well, thank you for inviting us, because this has been something that we've been working on internally and working to improve our performance on.
Great, great. Now, why don't you go ahead and introduce the sales team members who you have with you right now?
Okay. Right now we have Rose Sheldon. Rose has been with our store just shy of 13 years now, and this is she's also worked for another floor covering company a few years back before she started with us, and she does both flooring, interior design, and then also she does window treatments, both blinds and drapery type situations, although not as much drapes as we used to. And
okay.
Then we have Nicole Zimmerman. Nicole started with our store just recently, approximately 6 weeks ago, and her current task is as a student right now, but working into a sales position. And Nicole is a recent graduate of the local design school that's done by the university system here in Great Falls.
Hey, Rose.
And my partner, Gary, is missing in action somewhere, and he's been with our store also about the same amount of time as Rose.
Okay, okay. Rose and Nicole, thanks for being here. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Okay, now, as I said, this call is going to be a little bit different in that it's specifically for sales team members, and you're on today's call or listening to this on audio CD because the owner of your store that you work for cares about your success. Now, he or she has invested time, energy, and money to be part of the Inner Circle Club coaching program, and it's not a cheap program. This is something they've invested in because they want to take their store to the next level and they want to help you. You know, the vast majority of flooring store owners are content to simply whine and complain about a slow market. And most flooring stores simply copy each other when it comes to sales and marketing. And it's the blind and dumb leading the blind and dumb leading the blind and dumb. And your boss has proven themselves different by investing to be a part of this exclusive group. And the Inner Circle Club has a huge arsenal of marketing and sales strategies to help you dramatically increase your income and crush the competition. And many of these strategies you can put to work immediately as a salesperson to help your own sales career and to help you personally make more money if you're on commission. And if you're salaried, to help your store survive and thrive when many, many others are getting cut down on the street or just having to lay off salespeople and other staff members. Okay, the employment picture is not all that pretty right now, in spite of, you know, some gains we've had. But nevertheless, there are a lot of flooring stores that are just sitting around waiting and hoping for things to get better. And if they are taking action, just copying each other. And the owner of your store is not doing that. Okay? So you need to consider yourself very fortunate that the owner of the flooring business you work for cares enough about the business's success and your success to invest in and participate in the Inner Circle Club program. So you really should thank them. Now, today you're going to learn how to close more sales and generate more referrals. You're going to learn how each of you can generate at least an extra $150,000 plus in sales every year. It is possible to do. The key thing is to have an open mind, because if I simply tell you to do what you're already doing, what's the point? Okay? Or if I simply tell you to do what you've heard, you know, 100 other times at, you know, conferences or what have you, or simply tell you to do what the competitors are doing, if I simply tell you to do what is traditionally accepted in our industry, then you're going to get traditional results. And I want you to have exceptional results. And if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. So if you want to get different results, you've got to do something different. So, Rose and Nicole and Dan, I'm going to put you all on the spot right now. Now, be honest. Would you like to be able to personally generate an extra $150,000 per year in sales? Rose?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Dan?
Well, you know, I certainly would. And anytime you can do that, that's a bonus.
Okay. Now, what I want you to ask yourself is, and everybody listening to this, is, do I want it badly enough to learn new skills? And you'd be surprised at how many people, by their actions, answer no to that question. Yeah, I'd sure like to sell more. But like I said a minute ago about flooring store owners, how most flooring store owners are content to whine and complain and do nothing substantive to improve their position and their sales. Most salespeople are the same way. Most salespeople are content to whine and gripe and complain about not making enough sales while doing nothing substantive to increase their sales skills. So, I'm going to repeat the question. You should be asking yourself, do I want it badly enough to learn new skills? Because that's really what it's all about, okay? And if you don't learn new skills, you're going to keep doing the same old thing you've been doing, and you're going to keep getting the same old results. All right. So the first thing we're going to talk about today, we're going to actually cover two different sales strategies for closing more sales and then also getting referrals. So the first one is the design audit process. And before we get into the design audit, what I want to do, Dan, with your team is kind of go around the room and ask what the biggest challenge is. So, Rose, what would you say is your biggest challenge when it comes to selling to a client?
Probably just getting enough information, getting them to open up and discuss likes, dislikes, and that kind of, that information out of them.
Okay. Nicole, how about you?
The customers I've had in the last 2 weeks, it's been convincing them against their belief system. A lot of them have traditional notions of flooring, whether it be vinyl or, say, shag carpet, and convincing them of the new products are better and a good value for them.
Okay, so does that also involve them being price sensitive?
Yes.
Okay. So if I'm hearing you correctly, the challenge is you've got a product that's more than something else they've looked at, and helping them to understand why they should pay more.
Yes, that's part of it. And just updating things that they, you know, updating so that they're more conscientious of what's actually out there. A lot of them haven't shopped in at least 20 years or never have shopped for flooring.
Okay.
So they know, you know, grandma's old shag carpet that was moldy and had to be raked. So.
Wow, you must have some people there in your area, Dan, who really go a long time between flooring replacements.
Well, and actually, you know, the national average is approximately 7 years that a customer's in the market. But in our market area, we're probably on the double side of that, that you know, there's we don't see the customers moving. They tend to be more in place, or if they do move, that the product has been in place when they moved into the house. But it is quite common that even on our surveys that we send out, that the last time they shopped for floors is routinely it's well over 10 years.
Okay. What would you say, Dan, is the biggest challenge when it comes to when you're selling to clients?
My biggest challenge is a little bit different. I have time issues, and sometimes I actually, and not to brag, but I have more customers at times than I have time for. And that was one of the reasons that we hired Nicole, is that hopefully she will, and it's already starting to work, that she does help free up some of my time. So that's one of my challenges, is it's a little bit different than most.
Okay. Well, and that's a good problem to have. And you just brought up a good point, Dan, in that the design audit process is engineered so that somebody who is new to the flooring industry, like Nicole, can ramp up quickly and position herself as a trusted advisor, even though she still has, you know, a learning curve. So, Nicole, that's something that should be of, you know, that's good news for you, because by following this process, it really is a formulaic process that you're going to follow, and you will, and Rose as well, you're going to get good at this, provided you practice it and use it to where you can do it in your sleep. And because you got to remember that if you don't have a system for selling, you're going to be at your client's at the mercy of your client's system for buying, and that is the last place you want to be, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's dig into the design audit a little bit. First of all, Rose, what you're going to find out here is we're going to solve this problem for you of getting info, and Nicole, we're going to solve this challenge for you of helping to educate your client about flooring so that they can make an educated decision and know why they should buy, you know, a better quality product, or why flooring now is different than it was, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years ago. And then ultimately, by helping you two ramp up, that's going to help Dan with his time issues, and he's going to be less grumpy.
Yay.
Okay, so first of all, the design audit is engineered to do six important jobs. Rose and Nicole, this is designed to help you and ultimately help your career, help you make more money, help you get more satisfaction out of your career that you've chosen. The first thing it's designed to do is help create total differentiation between you and everybody else in your area. Okay, any other flooring store, any other box store, it's going to help create differentiation. Rose, do you run into that where part of your people who walk in perhaps think that, you know, one flooring store is the same as another and you're just one in a string that they're shopping at?
Yes, we do. Most people will shop at least three, maybe four stores here in town. I actually like it when I'm the last one, though. It gives, you know, and I know from what they're saying that, you know, this is the last place we're stopping.
and it does help to step your game up a little.
Yes, it does. And if you don't create differentiation, if you fail to create differentiation in their mind, so they're still thinking that it's an apples-to-apples comparison, what happens to your price points?
They're going to shop. They're going to go for the price rather
yes.
than product.
Exactly. So that's why creating differentiation is so critical. And most flooring stores do a lousy job at it. You could take most flooring stores' sales presentation, their ads, their everything, and you couldn't tell one from the next. So the design audit is engineered to help create differentiation immediately. I mean, from the minute you open your mouth, it's going to be different. Would that be useful to you, Nicole?
Absolutely.
Within the first 30 seconds, you instantly set yourself apart from every other floor storing that they've been to.
Yes. They all look scared when they come in because they're thinking they're just stopping at another place that they were just at.
Okay. Now, the second thing that it's going to do is position you as a trusted advisor. Now, most of the, assuming they've been to two other flooring stores before they stop into yours, Nicole, they will have heard pretty much the same routine. You know, how may I help you? And then it goes into whatever salesy process that the person does, most likely. What the design audit process is going to help you do is come across not as a salesperson, but more as a trusted advisor, like a family doctor. So when you go into, I mean, picture going into a used car lot and the feeling you get there, and the feeling you get when you sit down with your family doctor. And what we're wanting to create is that feeling of being like they're sitting down with their family doctor, very confident in your expertise. The third thing that it does is it gives you control of the sales process. And you're going to see in just a few seconds here how you can take control of the sales process immediately. Because remember, if you don't have a system for selling, you're at the mercy of your customer's system for buying. Have you, Rose, had that happen where somebody walks in and it just seems like they're leading you around, they're in charge of the sales process?
Yes. Yes, it happens a lot.
Okay, so we want to fix that so that you're in charge. The next thing that it's going to enable you to do is charge higher prices and margins, because remember, being able to charge a higher price is a function of creating differentiation. And it's that education part that you were talking about, Nicole, you know, getting rid of old ideas about flooring that they might have, educating them why paying more for your flooring is actually a better value long term than getting the cheapest stuff they can get from Home Depot. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Fifth thing that it's going to enable you to do is do upsells that don't feel like upsells. They're going to feel like professional recommendations. I mean, when you go into a used car dealer and you're sitting down and finalizing it, and he starts offering you the undercoating and the burglar alarm and the extended warranty, even me just describing it to you, can you feel the pressure down in your gut? Like, this person's just trying to squeeze every dollar out of me that they can. Nicole?
Yes, I can visualize it right now.
Okay. But imagine sitting down with your doctor, and he says, you know, Nicole, based on what you've told me about how you're feeling, the symptoms that you're having, I'm going to prescribe this medication, and I think you should take these vitamins here as well. And we happen to have them here, and we can just go ahead and add that to your bill. Feel any different?
Yes. It's like I've been understood and they're trying to help me versus them just trying to make money off of me.
You know what, Nicole? You make my job as an interviewer so easy. No, you're absolutely right. And that's how the design audit is engineered to make upsells feel like you're not just trying to squeeze every drop of money out of them, but that you're making suggestions. Okay. The sixth thing is to increase your closed sale batting average. Let's take a look at an example. Let's say that your average ticket is $3,000 for anybody listening to this. And if it's not $3,000, if it's less, plug in your own number. If it's more, plug in your own number. I'm just going to use that as our example. If you're able to close one extra sale per week, that's 50 extra sales per year, which is $150,000 in additional revenue. Now, if that seems like a crazy pie in the sky, unachievable number, we'll cut it in half. One extra sale every other week. You're at $75,000 in additional income every year with zero marketing costs. In fact, really, with zero extra time selling, you're just closing more sales. You're already selling to these people. So if it just means that you're, instead of losing that one client every other week, you're gaining them and selling to them. Rose, does that closing an extra sale every other week sound like a crazy, unreachable number that's just unrealistic?
No, I don't think so. I think by the sounds of this, it'll be very doable.
Okay. My point is that by making small changes to the way that you approach selling, small improvements to your numbers add up to big numbers over the course of a year. So you close an extra sale every other week, that's an extra $75,000 in revenue, okay? So it doesn't take a whole lot. An extra sale every week is $150,000 in extra revenue. And that's how you need to think about this, okay? All right. So when a prospect walks in the door, Nicole, what's the first thing that you say to them?
I say hello.
Okay, what's the second thing you say to them?
I just ask them how their day's going, or if the weather's real extreme, I ask them how they're dealing with that.
Okay, then what do you say?
What's the third thing? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
What do you say after you get done with the small talk?
I usually ask them what brings them in the store or what kind of project they're working on, or kind of depends on where their eyes are floating around to in the store.
Okay. Rose, what do you say when somebody walks in?
Well, other than the greetings or niceties, I usually ask them what project they're working on and what type of product they're looking for, and just kind of let them go from there.
Okay. Now, I'm going to be merciless with you for a minute, Rose. Let's say that you are the third store they've been to.
Okay.
Is that opening salvo that you just launched, the first thing they've heard out of your mouth, does that create total differentiation between you and every other store they've been to?
Probably not.
Yes, because most of them are going to say something like that. For example, what did you have in mind, or how may I help you? But don't feel bad, because what you're trying to do is obviously provide good service, both of you. Yet in doing so, you're inadvertently opening yourself up to a price war. Because what happens, Rose, when you say, what kind of product did you have in mind? What do they say?
I'm looking for vinyl.
Okay, so then what do you do next?
I usually ask them what the scope of their project is, what rooms they're doing, and kind of the colors and things like that.
Do you take them over to the vinyl displays?
Yes, we're probably walking that direction, yes.
All right. And then once you're there, does price tend to come up pretty quickly then?
It does. That's what they understand. So that would be their questions, yeah.
Exactly. And what happens in your stomach when they ask, how much is this?
You know, I try not to do that soon in the process because I'm all about the design. I want them to find something that they're in love with.
Exactly.
I'd rather show them the products and then we talk price.
Okay. So what is happening almost 80 to 90% of the time is you're inadvertently setting yourself up for a premature price question.
Right.
Because they don't know how to ask. They don't know anything about flooring. So they're coming in and they're asking, hey, I don't know anything else to ask because I don't know anything, so I'm just going to ask what the price is. Well, how much is it? It's the first logical thing that you're going to ask when you don't know anything else. It doesn't mean they're a price shopper, but it does introduce price prematurely. So we're going to talk. So two things have happened. You're by asking them what they have in mind or what kind of product they were looking for or how may I help you, you're giving them too much control of the sales process and you're inadvertently setting yourself up for a premature price question. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So what I'm going to show you is how, with the first words out of your mouth, you take control of the sales process, create total differentiation, and avert premature price questions. Does that sound good?
Yes.
If I could give you a phrase to say that would do all of that, would it be worth taking the time to memorize that so you could say it in your sleep?
Yes, that would be worth a lot.
Okay. I'm asking a lot of easy questions, aren't I?
Yes.
Okay.
Throwing softballs.
That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. Okay. So somebody walks in. You say, hi, I'm Nicole. Welcome to GT Flooring. Are you a new or returning client? Oh, a new client. Well, I'm so glad that you decided to visit us today. We have a special program for new clients. Can I take a quick minute and tell you about it? Or, if the answer is returning client, hi, I'm Nicole. Welcome to GT Flooring. Are you a new or returning client? Wow, I'm so glad you decided to visit us again today. We have a special program for returning clients. Can I take a quick minute and tell you about it? Now, before we go any further, does that sound like anything they've likely heard from any other flooring store? If you're the third one they visited,
it sounds a very new approach.
Yes. 9 out of 10 of them, if you approach it correctly, are going to let you take that quick minute and tell them about it. And the reason you say quick minute is because you want to let them know that this isn't going to take all day. And you'll notice that I use that phrase a lot. Okay, so they've given you permission. So now what you're going to do is lead them into the design audit process. Can I take a quick minute and tell you about it? Well, okay. Well, you know, floor covering is a critical part of your interior decor, and choosing the right flooring is a major decision. And there are many options, and we realize it can be a little confusing and a little overwhelming. So to help you make the best decision on your flooring investment, we have a trademarked process called the design audit where we'll do several things. First, I'm going to sit down with you in our design room and get some very basic information from you about your traffic levels. Second, we'll discuss what you want to accomplish with your new flooring. And third, I'll draw out a diagram of your house so I can see your traffic patterns. And this will help us narrow the thousands of products to the best flooring choice for your unique situation. Why don't we head over to the design room and sit down together for a few minutes? Now, here's what you've just accomplished with this script. you've, again, just totally differentiated yourself from everyone else they've talked to. Second thing is, if you're the first person they visited, you're going to stop the shopping in its tracks. Because you made a good point, Rose. We'd all love it if we were the third person they came to. But we don't have any control over that, do we?
No, we don't.
No. So we want to be able to stop the shopping in its tracks, even if you're the first place they've gone to, and not even think about going anywhere else. And if they do go somewhere else, that by comparison to what they've just seen at your store and your presentation, it's going to be apples and oranges. They're going to go, these people are just hacks. They're nothing like Rose over at GT Flooring. Okay? So you're going to completely differentiate yourself. Second, you have just taken control of the sales process. Third, you have avoided a premature price question. We're not even anywhere close. We haven't even brought up products yet, have we?
No, they haven't, or we haven't.
Fourth thing you've done is you've built value into the design audit, and that's very, very important because the design audit process, if you just treat it as an oh, by the way thing, they're going to treat it as an oh, by the way thing. You need to build value into the design audit process so they know why they need to go through this process. Because, let's face it, nobody wants to sit down for 15 minutes and hear a sales pitch, right?
Right.
So you have to show them why sitting down for this design audit is in their best interest. And let them know that this isn't just you sitting down and hammering them about buying the most expensive thing in the store. By saying the script exactly as I just said it, you're going to accomplish all of those things. Okay, so with that in mind, here's another softball question. Is it worth memorizing the script so you can say it perfectly in your sleep?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's
Jim,
go ahead.
Jim, a question for you. Where do we find the verbiage on this in our manuals?
It's in the design modules 5 and 6 of the Rapid Launch.
Okay.
Find the scripts in there. Also, rewind this CD when you're listening to it and copy it down is another way you can do it. But those scripts are critical. In fact, the opening script is the most important thing to memorize, okay? Because for the rest of it, you're going to be, you know, going through a series of questions and so forth, but you've got to take control of that sales process. Okay, so let's go through the design audit form. We're on page 1. And I always, of course, get their name first, but I don't go into all the other things, their email and all that kind of thing right away. I'll skip that at first because, again, we don't want this to feel like a sales process. We're going to actually get that information at the end. So what you'll see as you're going through through this is a lot of questions that many of you may already be asking, okay? You may not see a whole lot of new things in here. However, the way that it's presented, again, positions you as that trusted advisor. When you go in and see a doctor and he sits down with you, what's the first thing he does? He opens up your chart, and as you tell him answers to his questions, he writes them down, and you're going to do the same thing. And it's totally separating you. Nobody else is going to ask them a written questionnaire. Nobody else is going to do that. And the first question is probably one of the most important. What's important about new flooring to you? Okay. And the reason this is such a important question is it's going to allow them to paint a target on themselves. The answer to that question is going to be the keys for you closing that sale. And you'd be surprised at how few salespeople ask this question. So maybe it's because there's a wedding coming up and they want it to look nice for the reception that they're going to have in the home. Maybe it's because they're going to sell their home and I'm not sell their home, but move out and have it as a rental. So the important thing about new flooring is something durable. And it just who knows what you're going to hear, but that's going to be the keys to the sale. They're going to hand it to you. Okay. Next, you're going to talk about level of traffic in their home, and we won't go through all of this, but it should be obvious that based on their traffic, you know, if they've got, you know, here's the obvious scenario, if they're wanting, you know, white carpet coming in off their garage and they've got, you know, four-wheel drive vehicles and pets and six kids and a guinea pig and a three birds, well, that's not going to be probably the most practical choice. So you can, you know, steer them to something that's going to work a little bit better for them. And then maintenance. Now, here's the reason maintenance is so important is because, you know, if they don't do a lot of, if they don't keep their carpets cleaned, for example, if they have, you know, 6-year-old carpet and they've never had it professionally cleaned, well, then you can find out, you can educate them on why that's so important, that no matter how good a flooring they purchased, carpeting, that if they don't take care of it, it's going to wear out more quickly and they're not going to get the performance they want. It's also a good thing to ask, you know, what kind of cleaning have you had done on carpet? And, you know, if they're using grocery store rentals, well, those things will ruin carpet. They'd be better off not cleaning it than using one of those. So, again, it opens up a conversation about maintenance. Down a little ways on page 2 is, have you ever had your floor covering installed before? Maybe this is their first time purchasing flooring. And that's going to give you information about, you know, educating them on what to expect, you know, where they're at in emotionally with the whole thing. I mean, let's face it, this is a big ticket item. And somebody who's never purchased it before could wind up being nervous about that process. Rose, in your years of selling flooring, can you tell us the difference, or do you notice a difference between somebody who's buying flooring for the first time and somebody who's, you know, done it before?
Well, I try to offer some technical information, and sometimes I can tell that they're, you know, feeding off of that because they are new. I mean, this is new experience. And a lot of times they'll tell you, you know, oh, I've built 3 houses, and or, you know, this is my first time, I know absolutely nothing. So they do share a lot of that.
That's good. And the fact that you're getting them to tell you that means that you are already establishing yourself as a trusted advisor. So the next thing you can ask them is, if they have done it before, you can ask them if it was professionally installed, what did they like about the experience? What did they dislike? And how can we exceed your expectations? Again, this is another key to the sale, okay? Because if you found out that the what they didn't like about the experience before was the installer was late and smoked out on the driveway and left a mess, well, guess what you're going to tell them you're going to do differently, okay? You know, that's a good time to bring up the installer professionalism guarantee. Other decorating or remodeling needs. You know, now you can find out if they need window coverings, area rugs, cabinets, counters, bathroom, kitchen paint, any of those things. And again, this is sounding not like an upsell at this point. It's just, you're just getting information. You're being that trusted advisor. Now, even if you don't sell some of these items, you should have relationships. This is to the store owners. You guys should have relationships with trusted companies that you feel confident in referring. And let's say that you don't do bathroom remodels, and that's what they're looking at doing. You can let them know during the design audit, by the way, Have you chosen a bathroom remodeling contractor? No, we haven't. Well, let me tell you, we have a company that we use that we've been referring for 5 years now. They do an outstanding job. And before we finish today, I'll go ahead and give you some more information about them. Now, here's the other benefit of this is, one, you're strengthening that relationship with that referral partner. Two, is you're keeping this transaction within the family, okay? Because if they go to another store or if they call, they'll leave your store, call a bathroom remodeler who comes in and does the quote, and, oh, he's got a flooring store that he recommends, and it's not you. Does that make sense? You see how that could happen?
Yeah.
All right. So keep it in the family. You be their one-stop resource for anything having to do with remodeling and decorating, even if you don't do it, that particular service that they're looking for. And the next question is, how long do you plan to be in your home? You know, and of course, that's just so you can give them better recommendations on the kind of product they're going to buy. I mean, if they're just going to be there 6 more months and then they're selling it and they're just trying to, you know, make it look good for the sale, well, then you may have one kind of recommendations versus, yeah, we plan to die here. All right.
We hear that more often than you believe.
Yeah. We plan to die here?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Which is ultimately, you know, of course, you're going to go for your longer lasting, higher quality type product. But when it comes time for you to make your recommendations, now you can bring in all of these factors that they've talked about and make your final recommendation, and it makes sense. You're not just pulling stuff off the shelf and saying, here, how do you like this? This is pretty. Oh, this is nice. I mean, obviously you're going to do that, but you're going to start from a needs basis, a needs analysis. Okay? Now, any questions about this part of the process so far, Rose or Nicole or Dan?
I don't.
Okay. Pretty straightforward.
The only question is that do we make the change to do it? That's the question.
Well,
that's one you can't answer, though.
Say that question one more time, Dan.
The only question is, do we take the initiative to change and perform this design audit or not? And that's the question.
Well, the question is, Nicole, do you want to make an extra $75,000 to $150,000 in extra revenue over the next 12 months?
Well, I think I'd be kind of crazy not to.
Okay. and I'm assuming Rose's is the same answer. So that's the answer to the question.
Right.
All right. Now, the second half of the design audit is actually the in-home visit. So at that point, and again, you can tweak this for your individual store. You may have a slightly different process, but at some point, you got to get in the house and measure. So the way I'm going to explain how to do it is at this point, at the end of the design audit, and of course you're going to show them samples, you're going to show them, you know, at that point, take them around the store, is you have given them, you're in firm control of the sales process, and two, they are now seeing this experience as something completely different than just going around schlepping from store to store shopping for flooring, okay? The next thing you want to do is schedule the in-home visit. Now, I also recommend that during this time you go over your guarantees and give them a chance to look at testimonials. So one way you can go over the guarantees is say, you know, at this point what I want to do is tell you about our 100% ironclad triple guarantee. Tell them about the zero regrets guarantee, the lifetime installation warranty, and the installer professionalism guarantee, and then give them that flyer. And then I always try to engineer a way to force them to look through a portfolio of testimonials, not something they take with them. You're going to give them that as well. You know, if you've got a welcome packet, and everyone on the call should be using a welcome packet, which has testimonials and the guarantee and all those things in there. What I like to do is say something like, okay, I'm going to go get some samples, or I'm going to add up some square footage, what have you, so that they have five, come up with a reason so that they have 5 minutes to look through the testimonials. And I say, while I'm doing that, and I'm handing them the book of testimonies, say, I'm going to let you look through this. And you'd be amazed at, you know, 19 out of 20 of them are going to look through that and look for people that they know. Okay. So after you've finished with the in-store presentation, it's time to book the appointment. And what you want to say is, okay, the next step is we need to come out and measure your floors. We have an opening at 2 o'clock on Tuesday or 4 o'clock on Thursday, which works better for you. And always give them a choice between two yeses. Don't say, can we go ahead and schedule that? Because that gives them a choice between yes and no. You always want to, whenever giving your clients a choice, give them a choice between yes and yes. Another thing you can do is say, okay, we need to schedule your in-home visit. Does morning, afternoon, or evening work better for you? It's another way you can do that. Now you're giving them three choices, morning, afternoon, or evening. Now, when you go into the home, the first thing you want to do when driving to their house is give them a call on your cell phone and let them know you're going to be there in a few minutes. Set you apart and creates total differentiation between you and anyone else they may have had come into their home. Second thing is, when you arrive at the home, ring the doorbell. I recommend carrying a briefcase, not a clipboard, because, again, no one else carries briefcases or a nice, some other nice-looking professional carrying case. Okay? I always used a briefcase. Once you arrive, ring the doorbell, and then when they answer, of course, they're going to invite you inside. Stop in the entryway, set down your briefcase, pull out your shoe covers, the medical shoe covers, put them on over your shoes, and they're going to stand there aghast because most companies will never, ever, ever do that. And as you're putting them on, say, I need to get a little bit more information from you. Can we sit down for a couple minutes to do that? And they're going to say yes. And what you've just communicated, tell me, Nicole, what you've just communicated by putting those shoe covers on.
That I was concerned about their home. Like, I felt like they were inviting me in and I wanted to take care of their home.
That's exactly right. And you did it without saying a word. Okay? So, you can put your shoe covers on, and you've also created total differentiation and reinforced your status as the trusted advisor. And I've had people make jokes. They called me Dr. Armstrong and other things, and I got known for being the guy that wore the medical booties, and it's great. It's a great reputation to have. Okay, so the next thing that's going to happen is you're going to sit down and get a little more information from them regarding you know, which rooms they're going to be replacing and so forth. And what you're going to say is, and this is important, you know, Mrs. Jones, I want to be your flooring consultant for life. And what I would like to do is get the dimensions of all your floors, even the ones we're not going to be replacing, just so we can keep them on record. And that way, if you have any projects down the road, you know, we'll have that and it'll save, you know, time and so forth. Also, I want to give you recommendations on getting the longest life out of your flooring, even the areas where we're not replacing. So would that be okay? And 9 out of 10 times they're going to say no problem. So what you're going to do is measure all the areas, get the square footage, and while you're in different areas, that's going to give you an opportunity to notice things like, wow, this bedroom sure could use, you know, new carpeting or what have you. Maybe I'll give them a quote on this, even though that's not what they had in mind originally. And you're going to look at several different things while you're going through the house. First of all, you're going to at some point say to them, you know, Mrs. Jones, you know, we're going to be putting new carpeting in here, and you've got carpeting in most of your rooms. One of the most important things for maintaining your carpet and getting the longest life possible is making sure you've got, you know, good vacuuming. Would it be okay if I inspected your vacuum? And they're going to say yes, because again, you've taken control of the sales process, and you're going to examine the vacuum, make sure that they're, you know, just the belts aren't worn, the brushes aren't worn down, plug it in, let it run, make sure it's not blowing dust everywhere. And if you sell vacuums, this may be a good opportunity for an upsell, because, you know, some people have complete clunkers that they need a new vacuum. If nothing else, you're going to, again, show that you're concerned about being their flooring consultant for life. Another thing you're going to say is, you know, Mrs. Jones, walk-off mat placement is really important. And what I'd like, would it be okay if I looked in your garage and took a look at your walk-off mats? So you're going to look in their front garage, their garage, their front door, any entryways to the house, and look at, you know, what kind of matting they have. And you're also going to ask them about spotter. Mrs. Jones, you know, between professional cleanings, you've got to spot your carpet, and it's important to have a spotter that's not doing more harm than good. Would it be okay if I took a look at what you use to spot clean your carpets? And a lot of times they'll pull out Resolve or some other grocery store junk that's just wrecking their carpet, and you can educate them on why they need a no-rinse type of spotter that isn't going to leave a sticky residue behind and just cause spots to come back. And at that point, you can let her know that you know, all clients get a free bottle of spotter with free lifetime refills. Now, at the end, when you sit down to add up the square footage, again, that's one of those times when you can have her look at the testimonial portfolio. So you say, you know, Mrs. Jones, this is going to take me a few minutes to put together. I'll let you look through this while I do, and hand her the testimonial portfolio. Let her look through it. Okay. Now, if let's say they've had two other people come through their home, Nicole, and give them a quote, do you think that maybe this presentation would stand out just a little bit?
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, this presentation, what we've just talked about, you know, inspecting the vacuums, the walk-off mat placement, giving these kinds of recommendations, is going to separate you from the, you know, if anybody else has come in and given them a quote.
Absolutely, and then they know that they could call me and come back to me if they had questions. I'll know the information.
That's,
you know,
right.
Down the future, and they'll keep coming back or keeping a relationship with me.
Exactly. So what you're going to do is you're, of course, putting together the quote. Now, some store owners want to leave at that point and go put a quote together. I recommend that if at all possible, you close the sale right there. And I've actually even coached members to bring a laptop that has their, you know, estimate software right on it and a little printer if they have to. if you have to leave at this point, fill out the prescription on page 4 of the design audit and give it to them, where you're giving their heart, you know, the recommendations on how to get the most life out of their flooring. Okay, if you have to go back to assemble the quote, make an appointment right then for to go over the quote together. Say, okay, you know, Mrs. Jones, now what I need to do is put together an exact quote, and looks like I'll have it ready by tomorrow afternoon. Would 3 or 4 o'clock be better for us to meet by phone? And schedule a phone appointment. Then, you know, say, okay, and you'll need to be near your computer because I'm going to be going over some things with you. So make sure they're near their computer. You email them the quote like 10 minutes before you call. That way they don't get it the day before and go out and shop the quote around, okay? You meet with them over the phone and you go through the quote just as though you were right there in person, okay? Again, ideally you want to close it while you're in the home. So what I do next, after I've added up the square footage, put the quotes together with any upsells, is I go through, first of all, the guarantees, the 100%, I mean the zero regrets guarantee, the lifetime installation warranty, and the installer professionalism guarantee, okay, because that's building value. Then I go through the prescription with the my recommendations for walk-off mat placement, vacuuming, professional cleaning, how to maintain their hard surfaces, okay? And again, this can include upsells for, you know, your hard surface cleaning kits. If you do carpet cleaning in-house like you do, Dan, you have a carpet cleaning business in-house, well, you can. Obviously, that's going to lead to discussions about scheduling their carpet cleaning.
Right.
Then I give them the quotes, and I'll have, based on what they've told you, you're going to go over one, you know, if they're looking at a couple of different potential options, give them the quotes on that, and then I also include any upsells. If they need to do vacuum, put that in there. If you see that an area rug might be a good idea, put that in there. If they need, counters, and you do counters, well, you know, maybe put a quote in there depending on the discussion you've had. If they're putting in carpeting in their formal living room and the entryway tile isn't going to match it very well, we'll put a quote for, you know, redoing the entryway so it matches. Those kinds of things, put it in there. Give them the option. The worst they'll do is say no and then close the sale. Okay, questions, Rose or Nicole, about any part of this process?
No, not yet.
Okay. All right. Well, here's what's happened is we've actually taken a lot longer on the design audit process than I intended. We're about at the top of the hour here. So what I'm going to do is reschedule another call where we're going to focus just on the testimonial portion because that's important. Dan, would you and your team be available same time next week?
I believe yes.
Okay, let's go ahead and we'll confer on that. Everybody who's listening to this, let's plan on meeting at the same time next week. And what we're going to do is be on Wednesday at noon Pacific. We'll send out the announcements again, and we'll cover the referral portion of it because I don't want to just gloss over it. It's too important. Can you guys hang on the phone for another 5 minutes or so?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go ahead and open it up for questions for the entire group. If you have any questions on it, press *6 on your phone, and it'll put you into the Q&A queue. Let me turn that on right now. Got to do that. Okay, the Q&A queue is now open, so if you want to ask a question, press *6 and we'll get to you. Nicole, what are your thoughts on this process, compared to a typical sales process that somebody would get if they went into Home Depot or your typical flooring store?
It seems more organized and just more in touch with the customer. You want to give them everything they need to take care of their flooring, and you're committed to their sale as much as you want them to be committed to it.
Sure. Do you feel like using this process gives you a framework to work with where it would help you to ramp up, you know, you being a new salesperson in the flooring industry, new to the flooring industry as well? Do you see? Do you feel like this could help you, you know, get past that learning curve more quickly?
Absolutely. I also think it kind of, it's not too cookie cutter where it can kind of conform to my personality. You know, it can still be individual, even if we're all kind of using the same selling system.
That's a really good point, because you've got your strengths and your personality that people are going to relate to. Rose, you're a veteran in the industry. What are your thoughts on this versus just a typical flooring sales process?
I do like the ideas behind this, and I think it's come at a good time for me because I'm just so busy being busy that I need something new. And actually, Nicole has been a good addition. You see a new person learning, and so it rubs off. And so I think the process overall is going to be exciting.
Good. That's great. And I'm looking forward to hearing from both of you and Dan on as you really implement this, the results you're getting. Looks like we do have a question here. Okay, caller, what's your name and what's your question?
My name's Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, I'm just wondering about the in-home visit. Because we have quite a large client base, and we're looking at we've had a lot of our installers do the in-home visit. I'm wondering, how do you balance the sales side when you have a salesperson in the store doing the first client contact and you're building a relationship with that client, to transferring that sales side to your installer who's going to be now doing the in-home measure? How do you do that transfer, or do you just take that whole element out and have the salespeople go and do the measures? And I'm just thinking about the scheduling side of it because, that's what my question is.
Are you having the installers close the sale?
No, they usually bring the measurements back to us, and then we do the quotes on our computer at the store, and then we give a call to their client and close it from there.
Well, my first answer is going to be, reorganize everything so the salesperson a salesperson can go out and do the in-home visit. And the reason I say that is, can you see how the in-home visit can be a powerful opportunity to close the sale and differentiate yourself?
I absolutely do. My only challenge is we have two staff, and our two staff need to man the store for the hours that it's open, and then we would be basically going into overtime or evening and early mornings. I'm just not sure how to schedule that with the salespeople who need to be in the store during business hours.
Okay. Does your installer, is this person a subcontractor?
Sometimes they are, and sometimes they're employees.
Okay.
A variety of people who go out. Often it's one, but we do have a variety. If our plate is just too full at the store dealing with clients and putting together past quotes that need to be delivered.
Okay. My thought initially on it is, if you're in a position where your salesperson absolutely can't get out there because you're trying to grow your business, you're limited on staff, if I'm hearing you correctly, Julie, that is an interim solution. I would, if you have to use your installer, I would be darn well bringing them in once a week for training. And because they're an ambassador to your store. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely. I mean, we have them wear our uniform shirts.
Wonderful. So they should look nice, dress nice, and in that case, when they're going through the house, you need to let the homeowner know, hey, the next step is we need to measure. And I would not have the installer discussing price in any way with them. All he's there to do is get the measurement. Okay? And that way, that's all they're expecting. Have him call them as when he's going to be there. You know, I mean, that make sure he's showing up on time and that he's calling 5 minutes before he arrives, that he wears the shoe covers, that he goes through and measures, you know, the areas that he's supposed to measure, and then leaves. Okay?
So you don't want him to do any of that discussion that you were talking about, the walk-off mats and the vacuum inspection and let's measure the rest of the house to keep it on file?
No, because unless he is a trained salesperson, he's just going to blow through it. It's, can you see how it would take practice and training for that in-home visit to work the way you want it to?
Yes, I can absolutely see that. I guess my challenge is that we just it's the scheduling side of things.
Right. So I would rather it not be done at all than somebody go in and butcher it.
Yeah, we have seen it where we've had the installer go in and do the measurement, and then the sale is lost.
Exactly.
It's happening time and time again, but we're just in this scheduling predicament. How do we make it work with people still? I mean, we're a union store, so we have to work within the hourly limits that we can for ourselves and for our staff.
Another thing you can do is have a person designated to do measures. That's what some flooring stores do, and that person is trained in sales and is really sharp, and all they do is go out all day and do measures.
How much, you're saying once a week, if we do have our installers do the measures, you're saying a once a week training. What kind of a training? Just to listen to what you've talked about today, or?
No, what I would train them to do is I would be, how to behave in the home. See, these are technicians. They're not on the same wavelength as a salesperson. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
They're in there to get the floor installed, right? So what you want to do is train them on customer service, how to stand, you know, when they knock on the door, don't be looming in the doorway when it's answered. Take 2 steps back so they're not scaring the poor lady that's most likely going to be the customer. Put the shoe covers on. That's going to communicate a lot. If they're wearing uniforms and putting on shoe covers and showing up on time, boy, that's way better than most contractors do, you know, remodeling contractors. Right? So I'd be training them to do that, training them to, you know, as they're getting the measure, to, engage the client politely. There's a plumbing company out of the Northeast. I forget which state they're from. Anyway, they sent all of their plumbers to the Dale Carnegie courses, you know, on so they can learn to relate and be trained to relate with their clients. So, you can teach them, but I would ultimately, Julie, make it the goal to have one person doing the measures, you know, as you grow your business and your sales team be able to go out and do it. Because let's face it, if you're losing time and time again, you're losing those sales. I mean, that's not good.
That's not.
Yeah. So I hope that helps in the meantime.
Yeah, I can understand that having that sales training for them would make more sense. Do you often have staff meetings for the entire team, the installation, the sales, the accounting, like the whole entire team?
I would do that at least once a month. And I would meet with your sales team once a week. And if your installers are doing that kind of, I mean, that is an integral part of the sales process. I would be meeting with them every week, and if they don't like it, tough. You can find another installer. You know, even if it's just 30 minutes, just meet out by the trucks or in your warehouse and say, okay, we're going to cover this stuff. I mean, it's your business, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When you say we're going to cover this stuff, do you do it individually, one-on-one, or as a team?
Do it as a team. Role play. Explain how you want it done.
So you're saying meet with the entire team once a month, and then meet with each of the like separate teams, like installation and sales team, separately, like once a week at least. Did I get you right on that?
Well, I'll leave that up to you, Julie. But the important thing is you need to be meeting anybody that's going to be that much part of the sales process. You need to be meeting with them regularly. Because, you know, it's not what's expected, it's what's inspected, okay? And you want them, you know, are they wearing shoe covers? Are they wearing their uniform to the measures? Are they showing up on time? All of those things, accountability, and train them.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. That's a really good. You've got, you know, a unique challenge there, and I appreciate the question. And I think my final advice would be try and get to a point where you're not having to depend on them for that function. So
the only way that I can see that working is an 8 a.m. appointment. I don't. I mean, I'm part of the ownership of the company, but I don't work in sales. But I'm just wondering, in your experience, when you've worked with clients, is an 8 a.m. appointment a feasible thing for most clients?
Our
sales staff could, you know, start maybe 1 hour earlier and go and do maybe one or two appointments before the 9 o'clock opening of the store.
Yeah. Dan, you have any thoughts on that?
Well, yes, I've been waiting for my end. The one suggestion that I would have for you, Julie, is scout around your market for a retired installer who wants some part-time employment. And the two things will happen. One, you have the experience, and it would put your customer at ease to have a guy that's got 30 years that he did that, but, you know, he isn't doing it anymore. You don't take your installers away from their focus and where they're best at. And if you find the right person that, you know, they've proven they've got the people skills that they can come in, deal with the customer in their house because they've done it for decades, then they have the experience of what to look for, what to note. Even if they're not doing quotes on site, they should bring you back a very accurate and realistic plan of attack for that customer. Then back to the 8 a.m., you know, it depends on your market area, but, you know, 8 a.m., a lot of people are getting ready to go to work, or like in my house where we're chasing our grandkids out to school, I mean, at 8 o'clock in the morning, man, bad time. So,
yeah.
But I think if you could find a retired installer, that would be your golden child.
Okay, so then it's sometime during the daytime.
Yeah, at their convenience, you know, as Jim said, well, we have Joe the installer, and he has Tuesday at 3 o'clock or Wednesday at 4 o'clock or, you know, Wednesday at 10 a.m., which works for you. And find a guy who's flexible, you know, that wants some money to go to the cabin like my dad does or go fishing. You know, and they want someone to pay for their gas. They don't want to, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, but they don't want a full-time job. They just want something to do to get out of the house.
And I'll just add to that. That is
that sort of like per measure or per hour, or how would you work that?
A lot of times they pay them per measurement, and you can work out a scale with them. The neat thing with a retired installer is they understand piecework, and so they're not looking for an hourly job. You can say, okay, you know, if we're measuring a carpet job and it's between under 50 yards, we pay X number of dollars. If it's over between 50 and 100, we pay X. And over that, then, you know, we have a third rate. Because obviously the bigger the job, the longer it's going to take. And, you know, but they understand piecework, so they're good with that.
I like Dan's solution way better than trying to turn your installers into, you know, essentially doing part of the sales job. Yeah,
Well, work where your strengths are, and your installers, they're not going to be, you know, most of them aren't going to like to do it because they're going to have to take and got to run across town, whether they're getting paid for it or not. You know, it. Yeah, and you could find that you could hire this retired installer for much less than you can hire a full-time person, put them on as a subcontractor because you're not a full-time employee. You're not guaranteed 10 measurements a week or anything like that. You don't let the customer languish for one day of measuring every week. You're flexible, but you don't increase your overhead extensively. And if you need to, you know going in it's going to cost you $30, it's going to cost you $50, whatever the number is, and factor it in your job.
Yep. Build it in to the prime.
Part of your overhead.
Yep. So it should cost you nothing. In fact,
exactly.
You should start making money with it because now you're going to stop losing all those sales.
Exactly.
So then you're saying a retired installer, somebody who has the people skills, so they're basically both. They're with the expertise as well as the sales side.
And then focus on, they're the ones that should, now you've only got one person to train. Let them hear this CD. Work with them individually on, you know, things like good customer service, showing up on time, explain to them that you are an ambassador for our store. You're there to measure, but your number one job is to be the ambassador of our store. And just train. Now all you've got to do is train them. Makes your job way easier.
Thank you. I appreciate your help on that.
Absolutely. Okay.
When you get the wealth of knowledge that they, people have a great deal of comfort to see, sometimes gray hair isn't necessarily bad.
No.
I wish I had some to turn gray myself.
I love it. Dan, Rose and Nicole, thank you all so much for coming on. You did great, and just appreciate you being on today's call.
Thanks,
welcome.
Jim.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. We're going to schedule this for next week, same time, same day, and I'll send out notices. Dan, you and I will confirm, and we'll go from there.
Perfect. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, everyone, until next time, happy marketing.
Goodbye.